It's all connected. And we are live here today on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz with the It's All Connected. When I say we, I mean myself, Grimner, and my lovely co-host,
Siglead.
Siglead, Siglo.
Yes.
It's Monday here, March 22nd, 2021. Noon. It's high noon here in Mountain Zone. Of course, it's 2 p.m. out there on the East Coast and, 7 p.m. over there in Denmark?
Yeah, 1900.
1900 hours. Of course, next week, your time changes this week?
I think so, weekend. Is it like the 28th on Sunday, I think? Yeah.
All right. So anyway, hi and howdy to everybody out there tuned in today. How y'all doing? If you're not over here in the Real Liberty Media chat room on Freenode, come on over. You can jump in through you can jump in on the RLM radio page or our reallibertymedia.com. There's chat thingies there for you to do your chat thingy. Anyway, today is episode number 35 of the It's All Connected program, and we have entitled this program, If You're Not Odd, You're Normal. And who wants that? I certainly
what's
don't.
That?
Yeah.
They do. They. Them. Right?
So anyway, odd that we're talking about today is what's known as the oppositional defiant disorder, which started off as a kid thing. But they have expanded it to include adults, and adults, too. So any of you adults out there, if you're adult or an adult, either one, you may be, as they say, suffering from ODD, oppositional defiant disorder. ODD, you may be odd.
ODD.
I myself am quite odd, and I don't suffer from ODD, I fully embrace my ODD. I don't consider resentment of authority a bad thing. I consider it a great thing. And if you're not resentful at some point, to some degree, of authority and the crap that they push at you and tell you and say this is how you ought to be, then maybe you're brainwashed. Maybe you bought into what it was, Moose. You drank the Kool-Aid, like Jim Jones' crew. You drank that Kool-Aid, and now you're.
But here, you just Grimner, for just $14.95, right?
Uh huh.
You can buy the course. Hypnosis course of how to overcome the fear of authority.
Oh, yeah. So you can hypnotize yourself.
For just $14.95.
And really, you don't even have to do that. Just watch the television news all the time, and they will hypnotize you for you and convince you that what they're saying, that their science is real and actual, and that they're their politicians are telling you the truth, and so you don't really need to buy the $14.95 course on how to.
But here's the I'll just read you the gentle permissive hypnosis session. Overcome fear of authority is designed to reset your response to authority figures, so that you can treat them with the respect they deserve.
Oh, they deserve.
No more. With repeated listens to the session, you will find that you start to see the real person rather than just the authority figure and can treat them just as you would anyone else. So download Overcome Fear of Authority now and start feeling stronger with people in power. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Just
$15.
That's a cheap brainwashing method there. you too can believe everything coming out of Biden's mouth.
Yes. That's the first step to fighting that ODD, you know?
Yeah, instead of calling Anthony fraud, you would believe him and trust him.
And give him the respect that he deserves.
Even if he tells you one thing one day and the very opposite thing the next day, it doesn't matter what he says. Whenever he says it, that's the truth.
It doesn't matter what he says. He's an authority.
He's an
authority. You just have to respect him for being an authority.
And you can tell because he wears a white lab coat.
He was appointed.
He wears, and from no mask to yes mask to double mask to triple mask to goggles, earplugs. Yeah. It's not a big deal. It's not going to be, spread in the U.S. There's no human-to-human transmission to everybody stay away from each other and don't go out. Don't hang out with crowds. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Don't dance. And for God of love, the love of God, Grimnir, don't sing.
Don't sing because
sing.
You'll be a super spreader.
Don't sing and don't laugh and don't dance, man.
Yeah.
Deadly.
Yeah.
You're gonna.
So tell me, Cirque.
Risk the whole thing if you dance.
Yeah. So tell me.
Yeah.
Do you suffer from ODD?
Oh, I do. And I have a horrible fear of authority, too.
Do you? Have you a fear of authority?
Yeah.
I don't have fear. I just have disgust.
Well, the way that they are describing this, I do. I have an instant reaction to people with authority.
Yeah, I have an instant reaction too, but it's fuck you is my reaction.
Pretty much.
There's really no fear involved there.
No. It's more of a fuck off.
Yeah, that's kind of the deal, It's like...
I start trolling. I become a troll when I meet authority.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with somebody like Flash around,
Yes. I in my younger days, I would get in the faces of cops, right?
Yeah. Well, you were one of them punk girls.
Yeah, I was.
Did you have the question authority button to put on your whatever clothing you were wearing?
No.
Okay.
No.
I had that button. I had a lot of buttons.
Question authority.
I had a lot of various punk buttons to.
Yeah.
Have on whatever.
I think I had one at a point that in Danish it's adults are fascists.
Okay, but now you're an adult, so are you a fascist?
I'm not.
Okay.
Fuck you. Hey.
Well, you're in an adult body, whether you're actually mentally an adult or not. That's
just society's generalized view upon me.
Sure. Well, you are a responsible human being. You have a job and you go to work.
Fuck you! What the fuck did I do to you?
it's true. You work for a
I do have a very adultish kind of life though.
Yeah.
It's called imitation.
And you have a dog to take care of, so that's like a child there, kind of. Well,
And a cat.
Yeah. So two kids.
Yeah.
Two fur kids.
Yeah. And an ogre.
Well, that's a little different.
Are you an adult? Do you consider yourself?
No, I never did.
Phew. Oh, I'm sorry.
I guess for a period of time I did. I mean, I got caught up into the whole work thing for lots of years. And I became one of those people that, you know, demanded that the rest of my coworkers, you know, were serious about their positions and got to their job and did things on time and took care of their business. I don't know what happened, what got into me during that period of time, but yeah, I became one of them for a while.
Probably hormones.
I don't know what it was, but you know, I guess maybe feeling that I had to go there and be that way, and
yeah, the sense of duty. That's a trigger, you know. I don't know where you get it from, though, right?
Well, you get sucked into that corporate world.
Suddenly you find you have like a sense of duty, and you go, "The fuck."
Yeah. Well, you know what I found is you make a lot of money there at those places, man.
Yeah.
Those give you all kinds of money for doing just, I mean, what I considered just, you know, useless crap. During that time, I felt it was very important. I felt that I was doing something that meant something.
Yes.
For a
you
long,
were creating something.
I was important. But it was important to me. Maybe it was important to people within the corporation there, inside the company. But I realized one day when, you know, after I think like the third buyout of the company and the third time they came around saying these are the new things and all the other stuff you were doing. So, but it came to me one day like a flash, not like your flash, but like yeah. And I realized that nothing I was doing there was going to make any difference to the world in the long run. And when they started telling me that I needed to manipulate the information in order to make it appear that what they were doing was good and proper and correct and wasn't harming anybody, that kind of broke me. It broke me of all that. Because I was like, hey, you know, you may be having your troubles with your regulatory body, the FDA, and you want your information to appear that everything you've done is good and correct, but I know differently. I see the raw data. And so I think that's what the point that broke me from that. Yeah.
Yeah. You saw rot. Yeah.
Corruption, rot. Yeah, man. Yeah. And it was horrible. And even though I don't like the FDA one single bit, when those people that were there from the FDA that would come over and sit in my little office every day for months on end to get the information directly from me, I liked those people. They were good people. Well, they were better than the people that were telling me to fake the data. So, which I never did. I never agreed to doing that. Even though that really pissed off the authority there in the company. So I was oppositionally defiant to the to my direct bosses, I guess.
So you have ODD.
I do. I've always had ODD. I had ODD when I was a little kid, and it never went away. But, I'll bet you that, you know, at least most of the people here at Real Liberty Media, they're ODD people. And I don't want to call them sufferers, because, like I said, I think most people that are defiant to authority are glad that they're defiant to authority, because they realize that the authorities are liars.
But don't you think it comes with a certain, punishment or resistance?
Oh, certainly, yeah. It makes your life harder than just going with the flow. You know, if you follow along, if you become one of the herd, then you're treated better. than somebody that questions. Even questioning is a horrible thing to them. They don't want you to question their word. And you know, now it's to the point where if you do question your thing, if you're out there on any of the social media platforms, they'll kick your ass off because you're not even saying that, look, this corona nonsense is fake, but just saying, I don't know whether or not this corona nonsense is fake or not. That's enough.
You do know what that means, though, right?
No, tell me.
That their initial data mining was a success.
Yeah, well, the data manipulation.
They no longer need the ODDs to use their platforms.
Right, right.
And now they're kicking them because they already know enough about them, and they already figured out how to track them other ways.
Oh, sure. You know, most people carry around like their little cell phone and tell the world everything they're doing, from what they're having for breakfast and taking pictures of that and posting it up, or to giving their opinions or views on things. But they also will go after you if you are questioning their. Yeah, one time I posted up this bunch of images of a chemtrail plane over on Real Liberty Media. And that post got so much hatred pushed upon it. I said right there in the post, I don't know if this is accurate or true. A whistleblower sent me a bunch of photos of this plane being geared up to go out and spray chemtrails. And boy, did that bring a lot of just hate and dissent towards me and towards Real Liberty Media. People, for whatever reason, don't want you to know that they're out there spraying these chemtrails around for nefarious purposes. Saying things like 9/11 did not happen according to the way the government said it. That's enough to, in some areas, some circles, not you, some circles, to bring all kinds of hatred down upon your head, because they want to believe that the government is honest and true and giving them proper information, which I would imagine. I was only 3 years old when Kennedy was shot, so I don't know back then, but I would imagine the people that said, "Hey, this don't look right." A lot of the things that you're telling us about how Kennedy was shot just don't add up. I imagine they got the same kind of treatment that we're getting now over this corona nonsense or over the phony global warming crap.
I think it got worse. I think the singling out and I think the straw manning and the gaslighting got way worse.
Oh, sure.
I mean, just we're just because we're to this show, we're looking at links with descriptions of ODD.
Right.
Like a normal state that a certain percentage of any group of humans is going to be in. There's always going to be people born that do this.
Right. Well, in order to not
true bullshit, right?
In order to not have ODD, I guess, or in order to not question authority, you have to live in a state of total and continuous cognitive dissonance.
Yeah,
you have to because they contradict themselves all the time, and if you're going to continually believe in what they're telling you, you've got to be able to accept opposing views in your head and figure out how those somehow make sense to you. Which, how can you do that? How can you accept that red is blue?
I'll read a passage of this, and just the NLP in this is amazing.
Okay, right? Well, let me just say first before you get into that, because NLP, for those that don't know, that's neuro-linguistic programming, and that's done through a lot of various methods, mostly through language, which I guess that's the linguistic part. and neuro being brain parts, so brain language programming. But there's a lot of people out there pushing NLP as a very positive thing, and there's classes on how to NLP.
How to reprogram yourself with your language.
Or how to reprogram groups of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
Okay, no, this is just so loaded, right? It's from the Psychologini, right?
Okay.
I think it's a link you found about the oppositional defiant disorder in adults.
Yeah. That site's familiar to me.
Right. And I'll read this. It's just beautiful, loaded language, right? These adults find it difficult to differentiate between good and bad. They are antisocial and cannot deal with anyone telling them what to do. Basically, this disorder is classified as a state of continuous rebelling against the right.
Yeah, well, that sounds like me. I do not consider it to be a disorder. I consider it to be an order.
But aren't they like, you know, first they say that these people can't, you know, us people can't differentiate between good and bad, right?
Yeah.
Because and they say we are antisocial and cannot deal with anyone telling us what to do. So
right.
Usually if you reject an order, it's because you can't tell the difference between good and bad.
Well, and see, that's the thing.
In opposition of what you're being told to do.
That's the thing. The good and bad. And where is the definition of good and bad? Good, I suppose, is following
whatever
along.
Whatever the authority tells you to.
Yeah, whatever the authority says is good. And if you're not with the authority 100% blindly walking down that path, then you're bad. So I'm bad, like Jesse James.
Yeah.
That's an old John Lee Hooker thing.
Like,
anyway.
Like the bank robbers are the bad guys, right?
Like the who are?
The bank robbers.
Oh, yeah, bank robbers. Yeah.
Not the banks. The bank robbers.
The banks are robbers, but that's a whole different thing.
Like the drug dealers, you know, the worst people on earth, drug dealers.
Yeah, because somebody said it was illegal. It's illegal to have those substances.
Yeah. They're like, you know, when it comes to NLP and loaded language, drug dealers are like the scum of the earth.
Oh, right. The worst of the worst.
They've been portraying drug dealers as dirt more than they've been doing it with pedophiles.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, and it used to be the alcohol people when alcohol was prohibited. But now they've switched it to, you know, all any natural substance that you might enjoy is bad for you.
Not the war criminals, you know. Those are not the real bad guys. Not the ones who kill, you know, hundreds of thousands of people with their war crimes. No, no.
Sure.
No, the guy who sells weed on the street, he's like, you know, the devil himself.
Oh, absolutely.
Huh?
Yep.
I don't know. It looks like the ODD people might be seeing something else than what is being presented to them.
Right. And I like it in that Psychologini article, that this one little bit of NLP they throw right at the top there, not right at the top, but near it. It says, this write-up will give you all the information you need about oppositional defiant disorder in adults. All the information you need. All the information.
And then they're like, what, 100 words?
So
this is a well-documented researched disorder, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And you can read all about it in 100 words.
Uh-huh.
Right?
God. So they have treatment. They have treatment if you're the ODD. You can take.
Yes, they do.
You can take prescribed medications. Drug yourself into believing to comp.
See, it's funny because we were reading about the adult, right?
Yeah.
That's easy to make it funny, though, right? But then you skim over and then you realize this is mainly used on children, though.
Mainly, yeah, it is, because, well, children's minds are easier to mold. So if they can get you to break you from your disgust of authority at an early age, then they can probably keep you that way for you know, most of your life, depending on, I guess, the events that may happen to you throughout your life. But if you just go ahead and, you know.
There are children being diagnosed with this.
Oh, tons of children are being diagnosed.
Being treated for it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you, you know, like if you're a child, you're in a public indoctrination center, I mean a school, then if you know, just believe the word of your teacher rather than saying, hey, what you said there does not make sense, and you know, question her lesson plan, I guess, then they can keep you that way for a long time.
It's insane.
Yeah, and they consider this is a
it's scary.
It's a problem. It's a behavioral pattern that leads you down this road.
I think my generation was one of the last generations that went to school where there weren't diagnoses everywhere.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was never
nobody was diagnosed with anything when I went to school.
There was no such thing as ADD when I was a
no.
kid. I mean, you were a kid. You were a little, you know, little brat if you just acted out. They didn't say, oh, he's got some kind of disease here. Let's give him speed to slow him down. Which, what?
I think it does, though.
Some
people's brain are wired. I had a friend one. Very hyperactive, right?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes he wouldn't sleep, but he would just work and work and work for like days.
Yeah.
And then when he got so ill from that, he would take a load of speed, and that would crash him to sleep.
Yeah, I guess that would. I don't know. I don't. I mean,
that's how his brain worked, right?
All
right,
sure. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, chemistry. Chemistry's cool stuff. Anthony wants to know if we're kvetching, which I guess is a Jewish word, about Reaganomics again. No, but see, Reaganomics.
I don't even know what I'm being accused of here.
Reaganomics was another one of those cognitive dissonance things you had to believe in. The trickle down theory of economics, where if you give the rich people everything, some of that'll filter down into the poor people, which was like. Really?
Yeah.
I've been watching economics for an awful long time, and I have not seen that to be the case.
No.
Well, every time I see the rich people get something, they take it and they get more of it, more and more of it. So, I'm not against rich people. You know, I'm all for them, really, because without them being up there, there would be a lot less stuff going on. And that is not via trickle-down. That's via them trying to enrich themselves even more, because if they can get you to buy into the theory that, you know, we're going to make your life better by doing these little things for this little amount of pay, then they'll get much, much, much richer. And you won't really, but you'll do okay. You'll be fine.
I think the whole thing about rich people, I don't think, you know, rich, I don't think it's not a trait or in a human, right?
What?
Well, you know, it's not something you are. It's something you have, though. It's objects.
Well, no, I think it's what you become. When you get to a certain level, you know.
No, I don't. I wouldn't define anybody from their economical wealth. Wouldn't do that to rich people. Wouldn't do that to no.
Okay.
I will say though that I don't like greedy people, and I don't like what do you call them when you're holding tight to your stuff when you're McScrooge.
McScrooge, when you're Scrooge McDuck.
Yeah. When you, I don't know what you call it, right? When you're cheap.
Well, I'm cheap. I live very frugally.
Yeah, but you don't, I don't know how, I don't have the word for it, though.
Okay. Well,
you don't invite yourself over to people just to eat their food and then leave again, though, right?
I guess. Are they going to bring me food? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying, there are some human traits, right? Being rich is not a human trait. It says something about what you hold, not who you are. There are rich people who are greedy people, and I don't think I'd like those. I don't really like greedy people.
No. Well, you
but
know,
there are also people with a lot of money who are not greedy.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
And I would like those. I mean, I like those. I know people with money that are not greedy.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, most of you here probably never read. There's a kind of a compilation book, Ayn Rand, and it's called The Virtue of Selfishness. And I learned a lot reading that book. And it's basically, it's just like interviews and little short bits out of other things. But one thing, and she's talking about it, and the virtue of selfishness, because it can be a virtue. Because if, let's say you're the type of person that wants to donate to every charity in the world, you want to help everybody in the world. And so in order to do that, because you don't want to feel guilty about having so much when everybody else has so little. So if you give away everything that you have, how are you going to help anybody? You're not. You're not going to be able to. You can't help anybody if you give away everything you got. So if you take what you have and you build up a platform, whatever it is, a corporation or a charity or whatever, and you use that to bring other people along with you, up the ladder, from their, living on the street to actually having an apartment to maybe getting a house or getting other properties, and so that those people can then start their own thing, which you could have never done if you gave away everything that you had, if you felt so terrible about having money when so many people were starving out there, that you just messed yourself up, and you messed up all the people that you were going to help.
Because I think that's what I was trying to say. That nobody is defined by what they hold in their pockets, right?
Right. See, Christine points out here. She says what I'm describing is not selfishness. Well, it wasn't really my description. It was Ayn Rand's. But she calls it enlightened self-interest. Absolutely, I agree with that. To think of oneself is the first priority. It should be the first priority. That is not selfish. Yeah, absolutely. You got to be able to have the means in order to help other people. If during that you enrich yourself, so be it. You're still doing good.
Exactly. You are defined by your actions and your character, though.
But a lot of people out there will see those people with money and just automatically hate them and be disgusted by them because they have stuff that these other people don't have. I liked Ayn Rand, although she wasn't exactly, the perfect person for me because she hated anarchy. She was not a fan of anarchy at all, I guess I can understand considering her background, but her comprehension of anarchy was not very good.
Well, that's the thing I don't get, though. Because that would mean that you're just a fan of rulers.
Well, and to a degree, she was. To a
It's
degree.
a profound belief that that human beings need to be ruled.
Right,
Otherwise,
yeah.
chaos will happen.
And you know, the thing about that is, if you get like a group together somewhere, isolated and in crisis, they will automatically start looking for who's the leader here, who's in charge, who's gonna take us down the right path, who's gonna lead us away from this terrible stuff and make our life better. It's human nature that people do that.
I'm not so sure. Well, I think you would find more, though.
More what?
Because you would look for, well, more than one leader. I mean, there is such, you know, I'm not against authority. I don't have a fear of authority. I don't, it's the appointed authority that freaks me out.
Okay,
but
yeah.
The guy who can build the best boat, yeah, I'm going to follow him when we're building the boat.
Okay, good. That's good.
That doesn't mean he's the one who's going to lead where we're going to sail.
No,
though,
no,
right?
No. Right? Yeah, he's a boat builder. He's not necessarily a navigator.
No, but he will be the authority when it comes to building the boat.
Right, and that's what authority should mean: is the person with the most knowledge about a thing, or you know, extensive knowledge about a thing. They're an authority on a subject. Not an authority over other people.
Yeah.
But there are those within that group that will try and appoint themselves as in charge of everybody, and that people must listen to them.
Yeah, I know.
And those are very dangerous types of folk. And I will have an oppositional defiance to them.
Me too.
Yes, and I don't consider that a disorder. Again, not a disorder. That is a healthy way of looking at it. Is that who the hell are you to tell me what to do?
It's going to create disorder, though, isn't it?
And then you take.
I don't mind being the force of oppositional defiant disorder.
Good. Well, yeah. That's just that disorder part. Yeah.
Would that be the FUD?
FUD.
Because I'm the force of...
Yeah.
Join the FUD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. FUD.
FUD.
Anyway. So, but I mean, you know, you got people... Just look at frickin' Biden. The guy's a moron. And he's got, you know... problems thinking properly, and he is supposed to be the ultimate authority, right? The quote leader of the free world.
And he
can't even put two sentences together, man. So I guess being against him would say that you have ODD because you're not
yeah,
following
yeah.
all the words of the creepy sniffer.
But just look how they are portraying people who doesn't follow Biden. I mean, they
right?
got him, you know, as the savior from the horrible force that was Trump.
Right, right.
He is
all of
the
them.
Savior.
He's gonna
undo all the madness that the orange guy did.
Yeah. Well,
not the bombing though.
And Flash is asking. What bank is behind Creepy? All of them. They're not necessarily behind him. They're controlling him. They're telling him what to do, and he does it. Just like all the previous presidents before him. The banks
yeah.
say, this is what you will do, and if you don't, you'll be ruined. And so they do it. Because they like that feeling of having power over everybody. They like
yeah.
that feeling of being in charge. So,
yeah. Because they're psychos.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. They like controlling and using force and violence on others. They're psychos.
Sure, sure.
You know, there isn't a politician who isn't. They went into politics. They decided they wanted to spend their life making rules other people have to follow.
Right. And you know, I think the initial idea, at least here in the U.S., was that for people to be a politician, they'd go in there and do some job for 2, 4, 6 years, and then they would go home. But these fuckers never go home. They never...
Why would you want to do that, though? Would you want to spend 2 years making rules others have to obey?
No, I would want to spend years removing rules.
Wouldn't you be in dissonance with your odd? Because you'd be going, what?
I would be the only one up there removing all as many rules as possible, eliminating as many laws as possible.
Filibustering yourself.
Yeah. My only law would be that all previous laws are gone and dead, and you have one law now, and that is don't steal. And that don't steal, as Granny Mary used to explain quite often, that theft includes violence upon others. Theft pretty much includes everything, because if you harm somebody, you are stealing something from them. You're stealing their ability to do something. If you kill them, you're stealing their life from them. So no stealing, no stealing. No. That should be the only law that exists out there. Theft is bad. Don't do it. And that does not need to be enforced by a bunch of jackboots.
In the 70s in Denmark, a guy made a political party. His political program was he would only have one ministry. You know, there'd only be one minister. The minister of abolishing the state.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I
like that guy. I like that guy. Yeah, if you ever read...
He voted for him. He got seats in the parliament.
Cool. Yeah, if you ever read the book The Iron Web by Larkin Rose, you'll see the kind of deception required in order for somebody with an actual free mind to get into a position of power where they could actually start ending things. It's a great book. The Iron Web.
He's definitely an ODD too.
Oh no, well, you know, he's an anarchist.
He's
what do you want?
Of disorder, yeah.
What would I, Christine's asking, what would I agree must be done to those who do harm others? I think that the individual that's harmed or the immediate community around them would have to take whatever action it is.
A reaction to an action. Face whatever you did and face the reaction of what you did.
Right, but that should be left up to the individual that was harmed or the immediate community if the harm to that individual was, you know, caused somebody's death or was to a child or whatever. It does. Christine's going on to say immediate community then assumes some authority. Well, the authority is if you want to live here, you want to stay in this community, then we have, you know, certain rules, which mean, you know, those rules are not to cause harm to anybody, not to theft, no theft allowed. And if not, then the community using a common law type of thing would say, okay, you can either take the punishment that we agreed to here, or you can be out of the community. And if you're out of the community, then you're outside of law, meaning at that point you are an outlaw. Now, nothing to say you couldn't go to some other community and repeat your vile acts unless that other community found out where the person was from and asked them, hey, what do you mean by, you kicked this guy out, why? And they would explain to him, yeah, this guy did some bad stuff to somebody and he refused to compensate this person in the manner just, you know, prescribed by the individual or by the community itself. So they would have to live on, you know, the outside of that group. Yeah, I don't need no passport, but thanks. Anyway, that's kind of a common law community type agorist society that I think would benefit all the people that living there within that.
But truly, you know, authority is, it comes as, you know, it's the same as power, really, right? Because authority
yeah.
is that you, people place their power into to somebody else.
Absolutely.
And that's that should be a voluntary action and an ongoing action that you do with consciousness.
Right, yeah.
And just if somebody, you know, if somebody who lie or cheat or steal, I would think that most people would find the compassion to try to understand why.
You would think. You would think, yeah. But understanding and preventing them from continuing on with that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, just because you understand why this person is doing that doesn't mean they're going to stop doing it. Or
No.
Yeah.
But that's like, there's never just either or, though, right?
Oh, no,
but,
no. There's many, many shades of gray. And
yeah.
And I'm not talking about that perverted book either.
No, I think that whole thing about court system and criminal laws, and when you start writing stuff down, I think most of that written down legal criminal law shit is mainly writing a manual how you can be the utmost asshole with the least consequence, right?
Right, and again, if I may,
and you don't really need it.
If I may again point to Larkin Rose and a book that he wrote called "How to Be a Successful Tyrant."
Right, you got to read the law, and then you figure your holes and loops, and how you can maximize assholiness with as little consequence as possible, though.
Right,
because
or
that is what most of the court systems and
oh,
and written down law is. It's
yeah,
the smoke.
I mean, if you
the criminals against
yeah.
their reactions.
Right, if you read through the legalese of you know any of the laws or the stuff they do in the courts, you'll realize it's the words they use sound like common words, right? But they're not. To take the word understand as an example, because I don't know if they do over there in Denmark, but here in the U.S., they will always ask, do you understand? But they don't mean, do you comprehend? They mean, do you agree to stand under the rules as we have given them to you? Which is totally different than understanding as comprehension. So if a cop here says, do you understand? You say, no, but I do comprehend. They're not going to accept that. They want you to say, yes, I understand, because it's a legalese term. But there's a lot of words like that in there, a lot of terminology that they throw at you to fool you.
In Denmark, it's a stand in front. Will you stand in front of the court?
Yeah. Okay, well, they mean the same thing, because they're saying, and if you are, if you, there's a saying, they use basically maritime law here in the U.S., and I don't know if they do there or not, but there's a thing, if you have to go into a courtroom, and they have these little swinging gates right there that really serve no purpose whatsoever, except for that when you enter through those little swinging gates into the actual courtroom, not in the back where the you know audience, I guess it would be a thing that is sitting. But if once you walk into that, you have boarded the ship. You have become at that point. Once you board that ship, the courtroom, you are under admiralty law, which has a fully different set of rules than you might expect or that you've ever been put under before. So it's...
And besides all that, It's all just a big fucking sham to protect criminals.
Well, to a degree.
That's what courts do.
The criminals are the ones running the show.
What? It does.
The criminals are definitely the ones writing the rules and running the show.
The court systems are protecting rapists, pedophiles, human traffickers. All the time.
Absolutely.
Stealers and liars, murderers.
Yeah, they do. Unless you're...
You'll never face those that they wronged.
You'll always face
unappointed authority to act upon.
Unless those criminals are displaying signs of ODD, in which case they will slam them against the wall and do bad things to them, because
you don't even have the right to forgive somebody. As a victim, you don't even have the right to say, "I don't wish for any punishment to happen upon this guy."
You can say it, but it won't matter.
It won't matter.
Right. Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with you. Suddenly you're just this object that you're being served upon, right?
Oh, that's all you are.
You
are chattel. So, yes. Yeah. That's the basic thing is those that feel like they're the elite, the rulers, the kings, whatever, they don't consider humans as anything more than chattel.
No, they act upon you all the time.
Yes, upon you, against you.
Yes.
Yeah. So how could you not have ODD? That's the question.
They even turned it into a disorder. They even turned it into an illness.
Right, because you're not buying into the nonsense. And you have to buy into the nonsense in order to be a, quote, good citizen.
I'm going to put, what do you call those little lines you put between words to separate them?
Hyphen?
Yeah, you call them the little...
A hyphen? Is that what you're talking about?
I'll put one in the chat. One of those.
Yeah, a hyphen.
Yeah. I would put one of those in between dis and order, and then I'd wear it proudly.
Okay.
To be the oppositional defiant disorder.
I dis your order.
Yeah, I dis your order. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Fuck
so,
the stars, you know, the people with their stars and badges and their titles and stuff. Fuck
right.
Them.
So going back to the show's title here, if you're not odd, you're normal. And who wants that? Who? Because if you're normal, that means you're one of them that buys into it, that believes it, that thinks those rulers, those people in charge, those people with the badge, you think that they're good and whatever they say must be followed. You're a freaking bootlicker at that point.
Fuck them. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're going to obey
don't
because
suffer from odd.
People who just don't
suffer from it and think authority is great, but who aren't being violent to others, I forgive you. I understand. I forgive you.
I don't forgive you. I don't forgive you. Your compliance is why we're in the situation we are. Your compliance makes life harder for everybody. You are the ones, you normals.
Normies.
Normie, you freaking normies. Are the reason that we have so much trouble is the reason that
it's very true. But
that,
I forgive them.
I don't forgive them. I don't forgive the mask wearers. I don't forgive the lockdown embracers. I don't forgive the vaccine embracers. Those people, and especially the ones out there, the Karens, as they're colloquially known at this point in time. They are making life harder for everybody by being compliant and demanding that you are compliant. They are a problem. They are a problem to me.
I'd be Christian enough to forgive them on behalf of you. just like Jesus can forgive Jacob for what he did to Peter, right?
Oh, but that was a one-time thing, you know. It wasn't a continually ongoing situation.
No, it is. That's the thing about power, though. You have to continuously give it away.
Yeah.
Your power can't be taken once and for all. You have to continuously surrender it. Because that is the truth about power, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Submissive one is the one who holds all the power. And the dominant part is the one who is completely reliant on getting it.
Right. I mean, if you want to be that kind of person, you need to get people...
to continuously surrender their power
right.
to you.
Right. And they do. They love it.
At any point, they have the choice. The submissive always have the choice of not surrendering, of becoming an odd and going, fuck off.
Yeah.
And then the dominant part is fucked.
Yep. See, Christine points out, forgive does not mean not holding accountable. The herd makes it all possible. That's it. So, anyway. Anyway, I think we've covered this topic well enough.
I don't think I said that I didn't hold anybody accountable.
No, I know. You said you were Christian enough to forgive those.
And on the Christian part.
I admire you for that.
Yes.
For having that. And, you know, maybe those...
Every moment we start over.
And maybe,
every moment we start over in a new existing, right?
Yeah.
And that's what forgiving is. That's why there's a power in forgiveness.
I will forgive them.
Let go of that bubble we were just in and move to another one.
I will forgive them if they change their ways. But as long as they continue on, no. Anyway,
they will never change their ways.
Well, then to hell with them.
The thing is, more and more kids are born with these disorders. That means that kids are harder to control.
Well, they're not born with these disorders. They are
getting them.
Indoctrinated with these disorders.
But more and more children are growing up and cannot conform to this.
Good.
So it might not be a revolution where you get rid of the people that follow authority blindly, but the evolution will definitely do it.
Let's hope.
We see indigo kids. Indigos are, you know, growing by the numbers all the time.
Good. That's the next
artistic, creative, with new abilities and new ways of seeing things, and they're pushing boundaries all the time.
Good. That's the next step of evolution there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're done here. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been a fun conversation with y'all and with the lovely Miss Sook. And we'll be back next Monday with episode 36. Of It's All Connected, because, you know, it's all connected. So coming up on Real Liberty Media this week, you got myself and Moose Girl on Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern with Free Your Mind. And then on Friday is Vincent Easley 2 with American
Dissonant Disorder.
He's a dissonant. He's a dissonant. Yes. Saturday is the Redneck Dentist. And he'll give you some good information. He's got a great show. I like Redneck Dentist. And then Sunday is the Blues with me in the morning. And then Hal Anthony at 3 p.m. behind the woodshed opening up the big old can of whoop-ass. And then Gary L. and Gigi's Boo doing the top 10 countdown. This week will be 1951. So some great music there. And then rolls right back around us. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you all later. You got anything else, sir?
I don't know. I'm just going to say, on the internet, you can shop disorders. So find your right disorder and go with it.
There you go. Find your proper disorder.
And maximize.
Oh, yeah. And you can hypnotize yourself and become comfortable with your disorder.
Ooh.
Ooh.
And maximize.
Yeah. All right. Talk to y'all later. Peace.
Peace.